Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Beware, you are being monitored, prodded, and surveyed by the oligarchy. But first, Apple bought a startup that reads people's emotions. And we grabbed this via Cryptagon and MarketWatch. Apple Incorporated has purchased Emotient Inc., a startup that uses artificial intelligence technology to read people's emotions by analyzing facial expressions. It isn't clear what Apple plans to do with emotions technology, which was primarily sold to advertisers to help assess viewers' reactions to their ads. Doctors also have tested it to interpret signs of pain among patients unable to express themselves, and a retailer used it to monitor shoppers' facial expressions in store aisles. The company had said improving image recognition, James, is a hot topic in Silicon Valley, where Apple rivals Facebook and Alphabet Inc.'s Google, which made me run to go search. Oh, that's right. Google created some new holding company. So there's actually something above Google called Alphabet Inc., which, you know, I love to slip in a Simpsons reference. It's sort of like Mr. Burns putting a parakeet in charge of the nuclear plant. Oh, no, it's I don't run this. The bird does. Having said that, James, this is Apple trying to catch up with Facebook and Google and everybody getting into the artificial intelligence technologies. Now, we've been talking about biometrics and sort of threat analysis and, you know, behavior detection officers and all these things for years. But imagine how much further along the technology is now, James.
That's right. That's true. But I think this is a good confluence of all of the different threads of these different tech stories that we talk about. Because first of all, you have the, as always, the first line of defense. Oh, it's just for advertising. We're just trying to, you know, sell better advertising to you. That's always the cover for every rollout of every one of these types of technologies. Oh, Google is only listening to you through your microphones because they want to sell you better ads. If they hear a dog barking in the background, they can sell you ads for dog food and blah, blah, blah. Of course, it's about constant surveillance of everything you say, do, and think, increasingly so. It's also, again, I think the Silicon Valley front is a front for the real work that's going on in the intelligence agencies to make these technologies, to either develop these technologies, like when Google had their free voicemail thing or whatever, which was, of course, just a scheme to get millions of people's voice data prints so that they could get better at analyzing them and get better voice recognition. So how better to do that than to give people a free service? Hey, guys, use this, and now we'll be able to work on our voice recognition. But also, of course, it's a front in the sense that a lot of this technology has already been developed, and you've got to put it in front of the public's face to get them used to it. And then the other part of this is, as I think will come even more apparent in the next story, what I think is the most creepy about this is not necessarily this itself, but the idea that we are being led to believe that technologies can know your inner thoughts, know your mind, know what you're thinking and doing before you do it. And I think our belief in that will be more to the point than the actual ability of the technology to do it. Just like the lie detector test was a total fraud and has been perpetrated on the public for decades and decades and decades of conditioning through all sorts of media to expect that there's this machine that can tell when you're lying. I think, again, they're going to start doing this in a more technological sense with this type of stuff. So the computer knows what you're feeling, even if you don't. And people will just believe it because, hey, the machine said it.
Well, and you kind of mentioned that advertising is the first way they like to roll these things out. And then maybe when it's met with some pushback, what's the next thing they'll try and do? And it's right in there. Doctors have also tested it to interpret signs of pain among patients. Like, oh, no, it's just for the medical thing. So, you know, when they talked years ago about wanting to implant people, you know, you don't want your grandma wandering around with dementia and getting lost. They'll use sort of the health angle, because what kind of monster would speak out against, you know, obvious health benefits, James? But you mentioned our second story, and it is quite the threat. Beware, your threat score is being calculated, and we can grab this via Zero Hedge and the Washington Post. Zero Hedge notes first that when it comes to life on planet Earth in 2016, it increasingly feels as if we are all livestock being monitored, prodded, and surveyed by the oligarchy and its minions. The latest example revolves around a software program for police called Beware, developed by Intrado, which consists of a secret algorithm that determines an individual's threat threat levels based on a multitude of unknown factors. All right, okay, so secret algorithms and unknown factors. I'm ready to sign up. Does it work? Does it violate civil liberties? Is there any public debate? These questions and more addressed in a recent Washington Post article, and here are a couple of excerpts from that. As a national debate played out over mass surveillance by the National Security Agency, a new generation of technology, such as the Beware software being used in Fresno, California, has given local law enforcement officers unprecedented power to peer into the lives of citizens. They should just go ahead and call them civilians. Police officials say such tools can provide critical information that can help uncover terrorists or thwart mass shootings, ensure the safety of officers and the public, find suspects, and crack open cases. They say that last year's attacks in Paris and San Bernardino, California, have only underscored the need for such measures. But the powerful systems also have become flashpoints for civil libertarians and activists who say they represent a troubling intrusion of privacy. They've been deployed on the public with little public oversight and have potential for abuse or error. Some say laws are needed to protect the public. In many instances, James, people have been unaware that the police around them are sweeping up information, and that has spawned controversy. Planes outfitted with cameras filmed protest and unrest in Baltimore and Ferguson, Missouri. For years, dozens of departments used devices that can hoover up all cell phone data in an area without search warrants. Authorities here, right here in Oregon, are facing a federal probe after using social media monitoring software to keep tabs on Black Lives Matter hashtags. Jennifer Lynch, senior staff attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, said, quote, "This is something that's been building since September 11th. First funding went to the military to develop this technology, and now it's come back to domestic law enforcement. It's the perfect storm of cheaper and easier to use technologies and money from state and federal governments to purchase it." We've got a couple of other links because this article did make the rounds and there are lots of different sources for it. So again, everything we say and play here on New World Next Week will be in the show notes for you to go do more research for yourself. But James, beware. What is your threat score, you think?
I don't even want to venture to guess. But I think this is the flip side of what we saw recently on that reporting about Sesame Credit and the Chinese government's game to get a good social credit score with the Chinese government. That makes it into something fun and a game, and you can get better and you can get rewards from the government for playing their game and jumping through their hoops. And this is the kind of Huxley Brave New World side. This is the Orwell 1984 boot on the face side. If your score is this is a score for how big of a threat you are, and look at all the punishments that are going to come. So it's the carrot and stick, and I think both are going to be used in both China and the U.S. and everywhere else eventually, but this is, again, just indoctrinating the public to it. But again, I think this is an extension of what I was talking about in that first story, is that, again, people are going to be led to believe that some sort of computer algorithm or some threat matrix or whatever can give you some number that's going to be your threat score, and everything's going to come down to that score. And just like everything else with security theater, it's security theater. They flip the switch when you go through the metal detector if they just want to, frisk you, and they'll just give you a bad score if they want to give you a bad score. So I don't think there's anything really behind this. I think it's the Wizard of Oz, and it's just the little man behind the curtain. But again, people are just being trained to believe in it, and I think that's the scariest part. And if and when and as that rolls out in a serious way, and people just come to live with the idea that they've got this score, and what's your score? Oh, what's my score? Oh, look at his score. It will become a socially self-enforcing tool. And that, I think, is the scariest part of it, more so than the technology that does or doesn't really underlie this.
Well, and that's a great point you make, sort of about the Sesame game and the Beware score being the carrot and stick way to sort of get people. That I know back years ago, doing my communications and research there, reading Marshall McLuhan kind of talked about, well, that's what television is. You sit down and watch the news and you'll see murder and crime and threats. But then you see a commercial and it sort of says, hey, if you play the game and you play nice, you can have a new car and all those sorts of things. I think the other point to make here, James, AI is real and these things are working in some ways, because we've talked about the promise software, all those sorts of things for decades and decades. The catch, I think, for us is it'll work some, but it'll work for them. They'll know when to pull all their money out of the stock market or pull all their tanks from somewhere. But it's never going to help us because they're never going to stop any mass shooting BS type of event. They're only going to save their own butts. So having said that, James, we'll move to our third and final story of a tech-packed episode 255 of New World next week. The CIA-backed startup Crystal Ball that's taking over Palo Alto. We'll take this via Activist Post and CNBC downtown Palo Alto, the heart and soul of Silicon Valley and former home to the aforementioned Google and Facebook and PayPal, is slowly turning into a scene out of Lord of the Rings. Palantir Technologies, a highly secretive software developer whose name is derived from a magical crystal ball in J.R.R. Tolkien's fantasy novel, has been gobbling up real estate in the upscale home of Stanford University and, according to critics, uprooting a vibrant startup ecosystem in the process. Now, James, this CNBC article goes on and on and on and on and doesn't really say much of anything. It's got pages seemingly just about the real estate issues. But again, the articles are there for people to read. But we continue by noting Palantir is notorious for its secrecy and for good reason. Its software allows customers to make sense of massive amounts of sensitive data to enable fraud detection, data security, rapid health care delivery, and catastrophe response. Government agencies are big buyers of the technology. FBI, CIA, DOD, and IRS have all been customers. Between 30 and 50% of Palantir's business is tied to the public sector, according to people familiar with its finances. And the coup de grace in Qtel, the CIA's venture arm, was an early investor, just as they were of Facebook and Google. So again, we ask the question, gosh, why would the Central Intelligence Agency want to buy up these new facilities and softwares? James, the rhetorical question.
Yeah, rhetorical. But I think the more interesting rhetorical question, or actual a question with an answer that we'll never really know, is what percentage of Silicon Valley is the CIA? I mean, to what extent can you even separate them? And how many of these companies are really just front companies? And I think the answer would be surprising to a lot of people in the general public. Maybe not so much to us. But yes, Palantir and the fact that it's taking over Silicon Valley should be disturbing, given its clientele, who we do know does include the alphabet soup agencies. And I know Pando.com has done a lot of good coverage on Palantir and its connections with The Intercept, for example, buying up the Snowden documents and sitting on them. But no one seems to care about that anymore. Anyway, Bloomberg, I know, had this story that I'll put in the links. It's a good overview. Palantir, the war on terror's secret weapon, that says an organization like the CIA or FBI can have thousands of different databases, each with its own quirks. Financial records, DNA samples, sound samples, video clips, maps, floor plans, human intelligence reports from all over the world. Gluing all that into a coherent whole can take years. Even if that system comes together, it will struggle to handle different types of data. Sales records on a spreadsheet, say, plus video surveillance images. What Palantir does, says Aviva Leiden, an analyst at Gartner IT, is make it really easy to mine these big data sets. The company's software pulls off one of the great computer science feats of the era. It combs through all available databases, identifying related pieces of information, and puts everything together in one place. So why is a company that does this taking over Silicon Valley and becoming such a big player? Precisely because of its utility to the big alphabet soup agencies that need exactly that type of technology. So here is the nexus between the intelligence agencies and the work they do, and Silicon Valley and everything they do. And I think the fruit of this that we see in the general public is Apple and, you know, Microsoft and all these fancy gadgets and goo-gads that we can play with our Fondle Slabs. Oh, look how fun it all is. Underneath and behind all of that is this immense infrastructure for collecting, sucking up, and reading as much data as possible on every human being and everything they're doing. And, I mean, it's monstrous to think about. If you really peel back that, just even that top layer of the onion, it really becomes quite hideous underneath. But we're never supposed to look underneath that. And it's just stories like this that give us a little bit of an insight into that lower layer of the onion.
Well, and I would wager, so to speak, that the amount of intel, black intel, black ops, CIA, intel-connected stuff that's in the tech world is probably about as much as had been involved and still is involved in Wall Street, the old boys. It's kind of the similar thing, I would say. The other thing I would say, James, is I just thought of this as you were speaking, the real estate that it's taking over. is Stanford University, home of the Stanford Prison Experiment. So it's fun to sort of keep those things rolling on and on. James, as we wrap up this New World Next Week episode, no good news here this week, but I hope you'll check out the new Good News Next Week spinoff. The second episode went up earlier this week, and it features good news on Campbell's Soup, flip-flop on labeling GMOs, and a lot of other mostly positive stories. And James, I'll just move briefly through New World Next Week updates that are submitted by everybody out there. And again, we've talked time and time again, there's no way we can cover this amount of news without people submitting stories using hashtag Good News Next Week and hashtag New World Next Week. The smart grid cometh, James. You said it many, many, many years ago on your podcast, but it's coming to shut off your power, you useless eaters. Nest thermostat glitch leaves users in the cold. And I'll also give you a smart grid search for the archives of Media Monarchy, as we've been covering smart grid for years. The same teenager who claimed a hack of CIA head John Brennan has now also hacked DNI head Clapper as well. And the world's most powerful drug lords eclipsed by CIA black ops, even ones that maybe hang out with celebrities and or maybe connected to the aforementioned company. But the last note we'll make, James, we were talking about David Bowie before it was cool. Back in September of 2015, we'll give you one flashback note. Central banks nervous as alternative currency with David Bowie's face goes viral. And we will leave it there, James.
All right. Thanks again for the updates, James. Thanks, everyone out there, for helping to spread this information and to keep the conversation going. Once again, New World Next Week hashtag on Twitter. Talk to you again next week.
Thanks, man.